showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Wednesday, Big Joe Dubin, Chase McKay back with you, and Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos.
Welcome back, Chase.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've quick trip to New York, got some more LinkedIn certifications. It was great. And then I took a couple of days off. And most people from Cromwell Media left me alone, so it was good.
Well, you're humble, and we're not going to say what Chase spent yesterday afternoon doing, and that was he was on the ground search for Ed the Zebra down in Murfreesboro. Any luck on that, Chase?
No. We haven't been able to find him yet. I don't know where he is. He is an elusive little fella.
It's a zebra. How can we not find a zebra? It's not like a woodchuck. It's a zebra, my goodness.
So do we think that this zebra, it escaped, where did it escape? The zoo?
Is no, right?
Some private owner.
A private owner. Okay. Yes. Owns it. I didn't know you could own a zebra, but here you go.
Same.
I mean, instead of a pig, get a zebra. Don't eat the zebra, but, you know, that could be fun.
I was telling Joe yesterday, you could saddle up a pig and saddle up a zebra.
That's right. Now, if this is the same zebra from the fruit stripe gum, he would have run out of energy in the first 30 seconds like the gum does. The gum lasts 20 to 30 seconds. This guy, he's just everywhere, but nowhere. Does that make sense?
So my question is, was he released, was this created on purpose to give, you know, music stations, sports stations? Now, I know, like, country stations have CMA this week, but everybody else has like, nothing to talk about right now. This was kind of created to give us a little something to talk about.
That's the problem, is that we don't know the story.
Has anyone actually seen this zebra? Okay. All right. So
it's
he's
been on
spotted.
The news. Because
full disclosure, for 2 days, no Twitter. I actually took care of Chase, and it was great.
Well, now you need to take care of the zebra.
Okay. Well, I'm in. I'm ready to go.
Well, there were ring camera videos of the zebra all around. Evidently, he was on 20. How he did not get killed running down 24, I'll never know, because that's the worst, maddest interstate in the world. And now
it really
is. All these ring cameras have the zebra running around the neighborhoods, but there's no tangible get him. And I don't know what's going on. And that's the frustrating part. I don't know. But all the memes are fantastic. So keep them coming.
Yeah, we need that. Anywho, it's good to be back.
We got the board for you today. Don't read it because a lot of it's just
nonsense. Good. All right, can we get our Rockies update? That's what it says.
Yes. So, yes.
It's funny enough, since we've been talking about the Rockies, Chase, they are on a tear. They've won 2 games in a row.
Wow.
They won their first series of the year last night.
In front of 12 people, right?
Yeah, against the Miami Marlins. So they are
I did. The one thing I did see last night was I think the announced attendance at that game was 124 people.
No, the guy counted that Marlins said they sold 9,618 tickets.
Bull.
And somebody counted 817 people in the stands. And it was just what the hell? Marlins and the Rockies. But the Rockies took care of business.
They did take care of business. I believe there was a former Vol that actually took care of business on the mound. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he was one of the closers.
Say his name.
It's Hallow something. I don't know. It's H-A-V.
Hallow be that name?
Maybe. Speaking of, we need to go to Miami, all three of us, because the Miami Marlins are doing this club feature. You pay $53, all-inclusive food and drink, and you go see a baseball game.
I would probably do that. Joe and I met in Miami. Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
We do need to take you. I worry about you in Miami, but it could be fun.
A food tour in Miami? Unbelievable.
You get lost the soccer world.
That's the thing. I'm afraid we'd lose him, and we'd have to call his parents and be like, hey, look, we don't know where he is. He's with the zebra.
He ends up in Ecuador without his without his kidneys.
Find me 3 days later speaking fluent Spanish. Oh, it's possible.
Then Nani's jumping our butt here. Nani, we are so sorry. We don't know what happened to him.
We turned around and he was gone.
He was gone. We had him on that little leash, and he broke it. So, by the way, Paul Skeens won. He lost.
Correct.
But he lowered his ERA.
Yeah.
So he is going to be 5-19 and win the ERA. Win the Cy Young.
Yeah, he's now 4-6, I believe. I mean, this is just, it's crazy.
How do you not build around a generational pitcher like this?
They've had pieces. O'Neill Cruz, their shortstop, is really good, but his bat's been inconsistent. Ke'Bryan Hayes is a really good defender at third base, but can't can't get the bat going. It literally it revolves around the batting lineup, and they can't do it. And Brian Reynolds, former Vandy guy,
right?
He's consistent enough to be a good role player.
Oh, he's not starter.
I mean, he's a starter, but
center fielder.
To me, if you put him on another team, he's a role player.
Okay. All right. Well, I get it now. Now, you boneheads have got me watching baseball now for the first time in 30 years, and now I'm not happy about this.
Because you went to a game.
I'm not happy about this at all, but I have to catch up now.
I'm going to go to a Sounds game once or twice this week because the Gwinnett Stripers are in town, AAA of the Braves.
Saturday night, Doug Scopel, our good friend, it's Margaritaville night.
Oh.
At First Horizon Park.
Okay, I might have to do that. By the way, I know he's been on the last few days, but just look up at the television and see old J-Rob.
Yeah. Having a good old time up there.
How's he doing?
But don't bring up Caleb Farley or Treylon Burks, then you'll be okay.
Have they tried to do that?
I haven't watched. I mean, it's just talking heads up there, man. It's funny because he's on there, and then Carthon's on CBS Sports HQ or something.
Yeah, I saw. It's funny. I open the text line, and I see like three or four saying that Jared and the GM redo that I should, you know, hire him. So let me just open up the checkbook and see.
Yeah, I'm sure you have to come over here. That'd be a good show, though.
Mr. Walters, I would like to use X amount of dollars to go get a former GM.
That would not be a bad little hire right
it
would, there.
I mean, yeah, they'd do great. I mean, they had a great
But I'd call every day. Why did you get fired? I'd call in every day until he answered that. I know why but I want to hear him say why he got fired.
I can already tell you. No, see, here's how I would ask that question to him. Why are you sitting here with us and not on Great Circle Road?
Well, I was let go from the Titans.
Yeah, well, I think he'd give us more of an answer.
What if he doesn't? I'm still calling every day.
Then call every day.
Yeah. And be like, hey, Mr. Robinson, this kid, Kenny the mailman, why'd you get fired? And then hang up on me. I would just try to get different voices every day and call in all the time. Well, hey, John Robinson, you know who this is. Man, what's happening? And that would be it. But you missed that, right?
I missed this last
couple of days.
I did.
How was Sunday night?
Sunday night was great. That's where I was going next. I had several people that were in the pits and stuff like run up and say hi and listen to the show and all that stuff. And so I appreciate that. I was running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
Sure.
But, I over the weekend, I mean, I had like 50,000 steps. I think.
Wow.
I got a lot.
Good for you.
It was great. They sold out again. It was an awesome turnout. They do a phenomenal job, you know, there at Nashville Super Speedway. Matt Greachy, our friend Katie, just all the hard work that put forth, and you know, it was a fun weekend. And So I'm sitting there in the booth, and Blaney's just dominating. And I had told them, like, I think he's going to win because he came on our show, so we brought him good luck.
Right.
And they're like, you son of a gun. Like, you've called it. And so the laps are winding out. I'm like, well, I guess I got to go down there now. So we wrap up everything we're doing in the booth, which is usually pretty quick.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to get across and walk into Victory Lane and just walk up to him, and he's like, hey, man, yeah, you came. I'm like, I told you I would. So
right.
We just talked for a second. I didn't do a picture because he had done the hat dance and all
That's
that
fine.
Stuff. And
But we got to talk about the elephant in the room.
Sure.
Yeah, and Dr. Crane did a great job of cutting the audio. So can you do that for us if you win Sunday?
If I win Sunday, all right, I'll give you all a shout-out.
The Chase and Big Joe show. And we'll Chase will see this weekend.
If he wins Sunday, I'll come down to Victory Lane.
Yeah, please do. I'll get a picture together in Victory
Lane.
We'll run
through it Sunday morning together.
All right, perfect.
Chase and Big Joe.
Yeah. Perfect. Consider it done. That's easy. The hard part's winning the damn thing. So.
Right. Which he did.
Well, you did your part.
I did my part. I don't know if there was a shout-out.
I don't think there was. So he... We'll have a talk with him on down the line.
I do know that, which was really cool, I had several people text me as right after the national anthem that apparently on Prime they said my name.
Oh.
They were like, let's go to PA announcer Chase McCabe. And I was like, well, that's kind of neat.
Nice. Did you screenshot it or does anybody send it to
you?
I haven't looked at it.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. So.
Big time.
Prime time.
Big time.
Might have to work that into the open.
Might have to? No, hell yeah, we're going to work into the open. But look, if you come on this show and you win something, we're going to put in a contract. You got to write it out for us and say, hey, Chase and Big Joe, thank you for the belief, the positivity you gave us, and on and on. This is garbage, man. I'm glad he won, man, but I'm not. I'm not putting up with this anymore.
Well, we'll work on it. I'll talk to his people and see if we can get this rectified.
Yeah, we should get that rectified as well. So, well, we've covered a lot in the first.
We have covered a lot of ground, but yeah, it was a great weekend, and now I'm kind of ready to have a little chill time. We got our next Cats game coming up soon.
Next Saturday up in Clarksville.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So,
yeah, I like it, man. It's going to be a good time.
It will be a good time. It'll be a great time. You need to get that?
It's my doctor calling.
Oh.
And I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to talk.
All right. John McClain going to join us at 9:30 today. Looking forward to that conversation with him as OTAs continue.
Yep.
Did I miss anything like worthwhile with OTAs?
The Cam Ward spoke yesterday a little bit. Nothing. Everybody was like going gaga over Tavondre Sweat. I'm like, he's just a second-year average lineman in the NFL. Why are we losing our minds on this guy that he decided to do a couple interviews? I didn't get it.
I feel like the thing that people are still up in arms about is J.C. Latham not being fat anymore. But we'll talk about that and much more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, you were we were kind of talking about this during the break, but a guy that really paved the way in football passed away.
Jim Marshall passed away. He played from 1961 to 1978 for the Minnesota Vikings, offensive lineman, just a huge part of the NFL. And people today are like, well, who's Jim Marshall? You need to know who Jim Marshall is. If you like football, you need to know the history of things. Like with country music, you need to know who started it and where it came from, the people that paved the way before you. And Jim Marshall was that guy. Remember, he picked up the football, ran the wrong way, and lost the Vikings a game and all that stuff. Funny story. But he also played 270 games. And I'm telling you, guys like him aren't playing football that long ever. The Bruce Matthews aren't playing football. And don't bring me a punter or a kicker. They don't count. They're not the same as a Jim Marshall or a Bruce Matthews.
No.
They don't count.
They don't get hit.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
So a Jim Marshall passing away, and it's just, the guy was a legend, and he should never be forgotten for what he did. It's every sport, NBA, baseball, hockey, all these guys. He was a legend, and he passed away. Remember the Purple People Eaters. Four Super Bowls for the Vikings, and he passed away. So guys like that are done. We'll never see guys like him again.
How long did he play?
61 to 78.
So I think, yes, we're never going to see that kind of longevity again.
No.
for a couple of reasons. And I would say this, we probably shouldn't see that again because now we know more than we did back then of the effects of this game. And I know, yes, they've done everything to make the game safer. You know, they've the helmets are better, but still, it's a violent sport. You know what you're getting yourself into when you do it. And, you know, we've seen guys that have retired and had the long-term effects, you know, physically, mentally, all of the above. And so I think that that's a huge reason why you're not going to see this as much anymore. But the second reason is the investment is way too much. And when I say investment, you know, these guys now are making a lot more than Jim Marshall or Bruce Matthews or Mike Munchak or those guys did when they played.
Right.
And I don't blame them for investing in themselves and wanting to protect that investment and also have that time, you know, with their children, with their grandchildren in the future. So I think it certainly changed the perspective. And yes, there are some that just do it for the money, but I mean, there are a lot that do it for the love of the game and, you know, want to make a good living at the same time and enjoy that once they're done playing football.
Tom Brady leads the way. Most games played, not a kicker, a punter, 335. Jerry Rice at 2 at 303. Brett Favre at 3rd, 302. Lineman-wise, Bruce Matthews played 296 games.
Jeez.
Jason Witten played 200 and, where'd he go? Jason Witten, 271 games. There is a current player in the National Football League that's played 285 games.
Okay. Tight end?
Tight end.
What's his name?
Say it.
If you want to ride in my...
It's a song.
Mercedes Lewis.
There you go, pal. Yeah. 285. Still active. Jim Marshall, 282. Anybody, I mean, like Clay Matthews, 278. on and on.
Which Clay? OG Clay or the third?
The dad.
That
dad played for 19 years. So, I mean, those days are gone. And when you see a guy like Jim Marshall pass away, and what he meant is something special. But, yeah, man, those are legends. And he passed with Julius Peppers up there with 266. I mean, that's a lot of football, but we'll never see that. Ben Jones ended up playing a ton of games, too. I forget how many he played in as well. But
well, he's a prime example of someone that, you know, at the end, I mean, he had a couple of concussions. I mean, it was time.
It was time.
I mean, he, you know, I think he wanted to keep playing, but kind of had to protect himself.
Nick Folk is up there with 200. Oh, he's a kicker. I don't care about that. 242 is up there. Man, I'm sorry, you're not gonna be mentioned in the same breath with a Jim Marshall or somebody like that. It's not gonna happen. But yeah, that's it. So you see somebody that passed away, and it's like, oh man. But he has Jim Marshall, most games record player by defensive end at 282. Think about it. He kept in the league in 60, 61, and he leaves in 78. How the league evolved in that time. I mean, same way somebody came in the league in 05 and leaving now. I mean, things evolved. The rules evolved. Things are different. Workouts different. Nutrition's different. You know, we had John talk about how much beer they drink during training camp, and that's not happening now. They're not doing that. Maybe they should.
What do you think – what does football look like 20 years from now?
Flag football?
Pretty much.
I firmly believe that. Once this generation of guys retires – you know, we love Frank Wycheck.
Yeah.
But all that happened after Frank, after that, I mean, that's going to be more and more. And I hate it. I mean, I absolutely hate it. And football has never been as safe as it is now. But the guys who are retiring the last 10, 15, 20 years with the CTE, I mean, moms aren't letting their boys play football. They're not. You see the numbers. You see the numbers. It's dwindling. They'll let them play basketball or baseball because you're not worried about getting knocked out and getting a concussion. Funny. Dr. Crane, you know this. What one sport has the most concussions?
Football.
No.
Basketball.
Women's soccer.
Oh, really?
Women's soccer has more concussions than anybody. You're a soccer guy. You know that. Than anything else.
He's not a woman, though.
I'm going to hold back on something.
You cover soccer, though.
That
we
is
don't.
Correct, yes.
But that's where the concussions come from. So, but now, I mean, moms aren't letting their guys play. And I get it. I understand it. But that's just the way things evolve.
I get
now.
It too. And like, my thing is, as much as I hate to say it, you know, peewee football should probably go away. I mean,
or at least not tackle.
Not tackle, yeah. I mean, and then you start working tackling. I mean, really, really, you probably shouldn't work tackling until high school. But the thing I'm worried about is you're taking those kind of hits and your body's still developing.
I think junior high. That's why I say all the time, junior high football coaches are so important because they're the first level of teaching kids how to tackle.
Right.
How to tackle. And don't, I mean, it's very simple. Put a big board up and say, don't lead with your head. That's it. Don't lead with your head and teach how to tackle. It'll be fine. But I'm not sure how much that's
going to be. Well, I think I've told you the story before of we had a guy in high school that was really good. He was a receiver, but he was small. And for whatever reason, his natural instinct was to lower his head every time, and he paid for it.
Yeah. I mean,
he got knocked out a couple of times. And finally, there was one day coach was just like, you're not going back in. Until you learn to keep your head up, like, I'm not going to put you back
Smart.
In.
Smart.
And he finally learned, but it would just
– Was that McGugan?
Yeah, it was his crew.
That's right.
Yeah.
Getting it done. But, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Kudos to the coach for noticing
you have that. You have to learn to do it right.
Right.
And keep
As
your,
we
keep
said
your head up.
In football, do it right, do it light, do it wrong,
do it long.
Do a bong. I went to McGavick, so you went to a good school. Y'all had a different approach to things over there. So that's how it worked out. But no, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to happen with this. And once this generation of guys retires and.
That's a really good question. Because, I mean, I think, like, Steve McNair. They don't make that anymore.
No.
Like, you're never going to find another Steve McNair.
No.
And that's what, you know, like, the younger generation, I mean, even, like, Dr. Crane's age, know that, like, oh, yeah, he was a great Titans quarterback. But they don't know. Like, they don't know that this dude basically got in a car wreck every week and then you know, went and still played the game. They're, I mean,
well, the same way with Favre. Favre and McNair are equal, except one was white, one was black. That, I mean, that's only the separation from those guys.
Both Mississippi?
Country strong. And took a Ben Jones took a beating. Those guys are just, there's some guys are just built with it. But we watched McNair many times walk off that field like, how is – and Fisher sits here and tells us these stories. Yeah. Chris Sanders does. I mean
– Well, 2003, the co-MVP year that he was every week was questionable?
Every week. Yep, every week.
Didn't practice. Was beat up. I mean, literally beat up from the start of camp until the end of the season. Co-MVP, which probably should have been just MVP.
Well, who did he co-MVP with?
Peyton. There you go.
Oh, man. I think I deserve it, too.
That was his first one, right?
I don't remember.
I think it was.
I don't remember with that.
But it's the only time they've ever done co. You know, just like, yeah. But anyway. I mean, and I knew somebody that was on that strength staff and, like, told me, like, it was a thing. You know, Watterson had this plan that with Fisher and Floyd and, like, everybody was involved in it. And Steve, and it was like he wasn't going to miss a game.
No, not at all. Can you imagine guys getting hit that hard today? I mean, they would crumble.
And Derek, like Derek's told stories about that of, you know, and Steve had his, like he had to have his nap. So, I mean, whenever they'd go on road games, they'd have the mat and everything, and they'd have to find, like they would send like almost a pre-scout to the stadium to find a room that was dark for Steve to go take his nap. I mean, it was crazy, but, I mean, it worked.
I'd like that here. Can we have that here? Dr. Craig, can you find a spot for us?
We do, actually. It's downstairs.
Oh, we do. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there is a room that's
like in kindergarten, when you'd go to, you'd lay down for an hour and a half nap time. Why can't we do that as adults?
You can do that here.
Okay, I like that.
You've given me another, like, a video social media idea.
Yeah, right? We should have nap time.
Dr. Crane going to have his nap.
Listen, as much as how long I've worked here, I have not slept on that thing down there. So I'm just putting that out there.
I have. It's a rite of passage.
We could build a little room down there. I mean, we all got in trouble,
right?
Scared
of the dark. Nap time? I'm just straight up. I'm scared of the dark.
For talking? We all. I mean, my son did. You did. We all did for nap time. And we would.
I got trouble for talking in my sleep, but.
Oh. No, I didn't. Oh, poor guy. We should do that. You're the boss here. Put institute a nap time. Okay. Every show gets like an hour decompression and go down there and nap.
Other people think they're the boss, but you know, we'll see.
Give me my football.
Coming up next, John McLean is going to join us. The wonderful sports writer spent his entire career in Houston. We'll talk to him coming up next. Here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is Wednesday. It is 9:30 or thereabouts, which means it's time to talk to the great John McLean down in Houston, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. We're going to be there soon, aren't we?
A week from Friday.
Looking forward
Friday
to that.
Friday the 13th, buddy.
Heck yeah. Let's bring in John now. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic. I want to start with, I guess, a behind-the-scenes thing, but you're familiar with Everett Geerlings. He's been with the Houston Texans, and now looks like he's coming to Tennessee in the communications department.
Yep, he was hired as the VP of communications, replacing Robbie Boren, who did a terrific job for almost three decades. And I've known Everett, worked closely with him. He is really good. It was time for him, like a good coordinator, to take over a department. I know everybody up there will like him. He's sharp. He worked for the Jets when he was young, and he's still young. Then he came to the Texans from the Raiders, and the team tried to keep him, but he wanted to move up there and have his own department. And I think you guys will like him. He's very smart, confident. Got a lot of energy, and it's somebody you guys will be working closely with for a long time. And I told him, you got some big shoes to fill taking over for Robbie, and he's really excited to get up there, loves Nashville like everybody does, and is pumped about coming to work with the Titans.
Oh, that's great. John, we love having you on. And, you know, I got to bring this up, but Jim Marshall passed away. And we spent the last segment, John, talking about Jim Marshall. Kids today, and I know they don't look a lot into history, But they needed, if you play football, you need to know who Jim Marshall is. John, what was Jim Marshall's impact on the game of football and helping it become what it is today?
He played on one of the greatest defensive lines in history, the Purple People Eaters from Minnesota. They went to Super Bowls but couldn't win a Super Bowl because the AFC was so strong back then. And he played with two Hall of Famers, tackle Alan Page and then Carl Eller, and they just couldn't understand why Marshall could get in the Hall of Fame. And I think he was a great player at times, and he was a consistently good player. His 270 consecutive starts are the most by any player in history other than Brett Favre. And he answered the bell, unfortunately, in his fourth year against the 49ers. He picked up the fumble, I think, and ran the wrong way and earned the nickname Wrong Way Marshall. Went to the end zone, flipped the ball, wrong end zone, and it only cost him 2 points. But that's what he was noted for, and he was a class act and on a historical defensive line that had one of the coolest nicknames in history.
Yeah, you know, we talk 270 games, and these guys are revered, and there's not a lot of them left around. And it just hurts, you know, when I saw that he passed away. I remember watching the Super Bowl and Jim Marshall and all that. It just sucks, John, getting old because we lose guys like that.
Well, that's a fact of getting old. And Marshall, I met him several times up there. He was an icon in Minnesota, as you can imagine, and Bud Grant called everybody on the Hall of Fame committee a couple of times trying to get us to put Marshall in. And I think if you're going to have three defensive linemen in the Hall of Fame, you need to have won at least one Super Bowl, which they didn't do. But he was a great guy, a consistent player who answered the bell every time he was called on. Can you imagine a player today starting anywhere close to that many games as Jim Marshall?
No, there's no way.
Not at all.
Nope.
I mean, and one thing that I brought up when we were having this conversation, John, was we know the effects now more than we did back then of playing this game. It's a violent game. Everybody knows that. And the paychecks. I mean, these guys want to protect their investment in themselves, and so I think that all factors into some of the, you know, and you're going to have some guys that play longer than that, but it's going to have an impact on the longevity in the game.
I'll say one thing. When the rules were different back then, it was nearly impossible for an offensive lineman because they could not extend their hands. They had to keep their hands within their pads. And if you got Jim Marshall and Carl Eller and Alan Page coming off the line of scrimmage and they can head slap you, which is illegal today, and they would head slap you to stun you, and then when they're getting around the edge, you couldn't extend your hands. You couldn't extend your arms to try to block them on the edge, to take them wide like they do today. And they changed those rules in 78. And I don't know how in the world offensive linemen like Ron Yeary, the greatest offensive lineman, I think, and Mick Tingeloff with the Vikings, how those guys blocked back then compared to the way they can block today.
Oh, I totally agree with that. You know, it's funny, John, we talk about, you know, you sat in here and said back in training camp in the 70s how much beer the guys drank during training camp. It's funny, the nutrition back then and the eating and the working out was nowhere near what it is today, but yet those guys were just iron, man. And that's why when a guy like Marshall dies, it's really bad because there's not many of those guys left in the world.
One of the things about back then, Joe, is when they didn't have cafeterias in the facilities, most of the facilities were terrible. The locker rooms were terrible. And when they wanted to eat, they'd send a rookie to a McDonald's or a local burger place to bring burgers. And as soon as practice was over, they'd go to a local, a beer hall and drink beer. And then at night, they'd drink beer. At training camp, when the players got off at 9:30, and it was the curfew, I think, was 11. the offensive linemen all drank, who all had Broncos, would load up their ice chests in the back of their Broncos with beer ahead of time, and they would go out and guzzle a case in an hour and a half, and then get up at 6 a.m. and go through two three-a-day practices. They did a lot of throwing up back then, but they always practiced, and, of course, they played unless it was a serious injury.
John McClain is with us from Houston. So we're now in the point where we're seeing the Titans' rookie quarterback, Cam Ward, and the Titans' top receiver in Calvin Ridley just gush over each other. He's the best. He's great to work with. All this stuff that we hear year after year. But I will say that we're also seeing that they've been putting the work in together. How important is that, John, that these two are getting on the same page? And whether it's, you know, praising each other or overpraising each other early on, how important is it that they get on the same page as early as they are?
Well, it's important, but everything comes out of their mouth. You know, of course, everybody's doing that all across the league. We got players here talking about how great it is to work with C.J. Stroud, and he's not even throwing. But he looks good, and he sounds good. And we're not going to be able to tell anything about Cam Ward, really, because they're not going to show anything in preseason. You know, Bill Callahan's going to keep everything under wraps. Till they start that first game, that's when you start your serious evaluation. You know, the media can keep track of every completion and incompletion and catch in training camp and OTAs and the mandatory mini camp. But until they get where they used to call, you shouldn't call it this anymore, where the bullets are live, that's when you start to evaluate players for real. And there's nothing, as you guys know, to elevate the excitement level for a quarterback taken high in the first round, especially if he's first overall. And the key thing that Cam Ward, from what I understand, has been doing behind the scenes is impressing his teammates with his capacity for learning, how hard he works, the respect he shows the veterans, and that's important. That's important because I remember Bum Phillips used to say, we asked him one time why he roomed black players and white players together. And he said, once they leave the facility, I have no control over them. But I want them to feel like a family. I don't want all the black players on one end, all the white players on another. I want them all to feel like family. Because when times are the toughest, you're going to dig down deep, and you may not even realize it, but you're going to go a little bit extra harder to protect your family. And really, that's what every team and every head coach are trying to do now. You know, it's called culture. It's really attitude, is develop a family atmosphere where those players will do anything it takes to help the guys next to them.
Very well said. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, we kind of had a little bit of a laugh. We got the NFL Network on in here, and John Robinson, former Titans GM, has been a guest this week. If you flip over to CBS Sports Network, Rand Carthon's doing that one. So the last two Titans GMs that Amy Adams Strunk is still paying are both doing TV now. But specifically on Robinson, do you think this is him kind of accepting that maybe this is where his career's gone, or do you think he's putting himself back out there to potentially get another bite at the apple when the next hiring cycle comes around?
Well, of course he'd like to get another bite of the apple. It's much harder for general managers than it is for head coaches. And I'm guessing, I don't know how many years John had left on his contract, but I'm guessing it probably has run out. And he knows he needs to be out there where people can see him and hear him. And I guess at some point he'll be hired as like an assistant GM or head of personnel, maybe by somebody who's worked with him before. But I think it's very smart for him to be out there doing that. And it's funny, I remember.
Nope, we lost John. We'll see if we can get him back, because I think I knew where he was going there.
John got raptured. Congratulations, John.
Something happened there. I don't know.
Wish we were with you.
Do you think that J-Rob gets another crack at it?
He didn't get the Jags job.
Yeah.
That's pretty telling. I think Paul was talking, he had a great point. John has to go and explain Caleb Farley and Treylon Burks.
All right.
Do you have anything else?
John, we lost you for a second.
Yeah, I was just talking about Floyd Reese, too. Mm-hmm. It's funny about those former general managers there. They're set up for broadcast. And I think John, if he wants to get another job in personnel, he'll certainly get one. I think Rand Carthon will, too, obviously. He's got time left on his contract. So I think it's smart for former personnel people to do as much as they can talking about personnel.
Now, Floyd used to tell us that the reason that he did this and went media is because Sally told him he had to get out of the house.
I think that's a great, great reason. And we used to tell Floyd. Floyd admitted he lied all the time. And I told him, I said, now that you're doing radio, are you telling the truth for a change? He goes, most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time being the key word there. Do you think that that Robinson should – because obviously what hurts him is, you know, Caleb Farley, not as much Isaiah Wilson, because, I mean, I think everybody just missed that one. I mean, I think it's more Caleb Farley because he was hurt, and then obviously the trade of A.J. Brown. But do you think he should get more credit for picks like Kevin Byard and obviously Derrick Henry?
Well, of course he should. And they took a hell of a chance, as you guys know, Farley, because of the knee injury, I think it was.
Back.
And the trade for A.J. Brown, which I still don't understand, I was trying to think, the worst trade in this franchise's history was trading strong safety Kenny Houston to Washington, and he went on to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I would have to say in this franchise's history, A.J. Brown's right up there with that. If he goes to the Hall of Fame first ballot, like Kenny Houston, he might turn out to be the worst trade, and that's the one that'll haunt him. But you got to get back in. You got to be in personnel, like a guy like David Ziegler. You know, David Ziegler, he was great personnel guy. He got a general manager's job, got fired. Now, of course, he's back in personnel. That's smart. And because when the organization starts to win and gets good players, and they start to look on who works with the general manager. And so I think that's a great avenue to take. And if you're not going to do that, get on TV, ESPN or the NFL Network. And it doesn't work for all of them, of course. We're never going to see Mike Tannenbaum get another general manager's job. But some of them do.
John, The Athletic came out with a report the other day, a list, the top 25 high school recruits in the 21st century. And number one was Vince Young. And you're in Houston. He's in Houston. What do you recall, John, about the hype around Vince coming out of high school and obviously the Texas and ending up with the Tennessee Titans?
It's interesting because I would have said Jadeveon Clowney, and who also may have been the most hyped player coming out, because we had to see 10,547 times that hit he made on the run
right
against Michigan, which kid's helmet came off. And Vince was the number one player in the country, according to USA Today. And he committed early to the University of Texas, so it wasn't like a big recruiting battle. And I asked Vince at an event about 2 months ago, and I said, what do you think that you would get today if you were coming out of high school? And I didn't even finish the sentence, and he looked up and he goes, kind of the heavens is millions and millions. And RG3 was there, and he came from a smaller school that in Coppers Cove, Texas, where he got a little bit of attention before he went to Baylor, But Vince was the guy. And everybody wanted him to come to the Texans because he grew up so close to the Texans, won that national championship for Texas, but they kept David Carr over Vince Young.
Do you still think that was a mistake, John?
They had hired Gary Kubiak, who was a great quarterback coach, because they liked Carr a lot. But they wanted a quarterback coach like Kubiak to coach him and see if he could get out of him what the previous regime had not. And after 1 year, they cut him and traded for Matt Schaub.
Well, you know, you talk about, you know, mistakes. Was the J.J. Watt one, John, was that the one that was just the top one the Texans knocked out of the park? Because he was good at Wisconsin. I'm not sure we knew he would be great in the NFL.
Nobody knew he'd be great. I didn't know anything about him until he put on a great show at the Combine in 2011. It's the same thing that Mario Williams had done in 2006. And people are, like, talking about him and, like, they were Superman. And nobody paid any attention to him up to that point. And Wade Phillips, the new defensive coordinator in 2011, he wanted the Missouri outside linebacker that went to San Francisco and had all the drug problems. It was a great pass rusher. And Watt was the second choice. The 49ers traded up ahead of the Texans to take him. And the Texans got stuck with Watt. And when they announced him, the fans at the stadium had come for a fan fest, booed like crazy.
John, thanks as always. We will do it again next week, and we'll get with you on the day because I know we got to change some things up a little bit.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us here on the program as he always does. And, of course, he is presented by Maple Street Biscuits, Wake Up to Wow. It's funny looking at, you know, the recruiting list that, like, is out, you know, the Athletic doing their list of number 25 made me laugh.
Yeah, we went through all the lists yesterday, and it was, we're like, huh? What? Huh?
Yes. Not a Tennessee player on there.
No. No.
And from, I mean, this is what, 25 years?
Yep.
And Dorial Green Beckham is number 25.
But as I told Dr. Crane yesterday, this is the high school. This is coming out of high school.
No, I know. So it's just funny how it all
is. It not?
I mean,
it truly is. When you look at the recruits, like the 5 stars and 4 stars, you know, like they should have been there. There's a lot of those guys who end up in the league, but guys like that, like what the hell?
I mean, for all practical purposes, for this list, it only matters what they do in college because that's what you're recruiting them to do. I mean, at that point.
Right. Yeah.
Vince, one of the greatest college players of all time.
True.
Being number one. Travis Hunter, one of the greatest college players of all time.
Keep on going, man.
Trevor Lawrence, same thing. Adrian Peterson, same thing. Leonard Fournette, I mean, Clowney, you know, Andre Smith doesn't get enough credit. And he was pretty good in the league. He lasted a while, a guard, but Jeremiah Smith. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty good list when you're just thinking of you, but it's hard to separate the two.
It's extremely hard because, like, well, he didn't make it in the NFL.
Yeah, right, but that doesn't matter.
Then you flip it over. It's like, all right, what about Drew Bennett? He never made those lists.
Right.
Yeah, he made millions in the National Football League.
Drew Bennett is the rare, wasn't great in college, but got a shot in the NFL and became pretty good.
That's all you need is the opportunity, man. That's it.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have more coming in hour number two. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Pregame at 6:20, the first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available in the Game Nashville app and the GameNashville.com. And it's all presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.